Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, forwards Michael Dalcol and Joshua Hosang each agreed to terms on a contract with the Islanders yesterday. Dalcol, who agreed to 2 years, had 7 points in 28 regular season games with New York last season. Hosang, he had 2 points in 10 regular season games and agreed to a one-year deal. The Buffalo Bills announced this morning they have signed offensive lineman Eric Magnuson. Magnuson was an undrafted rookie in 2017 with the 49ers and has appeared in 8 career games over his first 2 NFL seasons. He started at both tackle spots and played guard and center during his rookie season. To make room on the roster for Magnuson, the Bills placed Garrett McGinn on injured reserve. Week 2 of the preseason concluded last night with the 49ers beating the Broncos 24-15. This was San Fran's quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo's first game back since tearing his ACL last season. Garoppolo threw an interception on his second pass of the game. His first 4 throws were all touched by Denver defenders, either tipped, picked, or almost picked. And he finished 1 of 6 passing on 3 drives, with his lone completion going for a 0-yard gain. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman passed his physical and was removed from New England's non-football injury list in May. Edelman signed a 2-year extension to stay with the Patriots, but had yet to take part in practices after sustaining a broken thumb in July. Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown has filed a 2nd grievance against the NFL in his attempt to wear the helmet he prefers. Brown, who had his first helmet grievance denied by an arbitrator on August 12th, is now arguing he should be provided the same right as other players in terms of having a 1-year grace period to phase out using his helmet. The Bisons beat the Red Wings last night, where TJ Zouk pitched a no-hitter. I hope I pronounced that properly, in a 3-0 victory. That's your sports update for today. Back over to Andrew and Craig, the instigators. It's National Radio Day. I mean, like, we kind of owe our post-hockey careers to radio and TV, don't we? I don't know. I kind of do. Don't you? Kind of brought it.
Sure.
Reunited us, yep. I guess, if you want to say that. So, born on this day, Robert Plant. You know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Of course you do. There's one thing I want to talk about on this list of sports updates. Do you watch Hard Knocks?
I don't know.
One of my favorite shows. That's why. Check out Bill's Embedded, Hard Knocks. Very, very similar. Love the concept of it, right? The behind-the-scenes stuff. Well, they're doing the Raiders. So this Antonio Brown thing is going on while HBO is recording the show, and they're two episodes in, and he hasn't been practicing because I think he did some cryotherapy or something, and the bottom, I don't know, he burned the bottom of his feet, or they're all blistered. I couldn't understand what happened to him, but if they showed... there's a picture that he sent out there, but they showed it on Hard Knocks. His feet are peeling, and he's trying to work through it and stuff.
Yeah.
But he still can't cut certain ways, and they look disgusting. Okay. Mm. But so he's out with that, and now he's still out with this helmet grievance because something about the helmet's over 10 years old, and they do you know about this?
Yes.
Okay. So you are aware of what's going on. He lost his first. He lost his first fight, obviously.
Yep.
So now he's going back in for another one. How do you feel about this?
Well, I mean, rules are rules. I don't care how good you are or who you are or if the new helmets don't fit your head. Listen, you're going to wear what the league says, period. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You're not any different than any other player in the NFL I don't care if you want to wear your old one. Listen, I mean, you're going to wear what they feel is the best protection for you and the longevity of your game, and that's it. If it feels uncomfortable, suck it up and wear it every day in practice. Wear it at home if you want, but you're going to get used to it.
Wear it at home if you want. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I don't...
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
The NHL comes down, they make a rule, which they kind of did make a rule, but they grandfathered guys. They made a rule on visors. And you say, I'm Andrew Peters, I don't want a visor. It, you know, it screws up my vision, and I can't play it, I can't pass, I can't... Listen. You are going to wear what the league tells you to wear, period. And you are going to get used to that. It may take you a little bit of time, but when you do, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, but visors are a little bit different because all these players, the masks are, you know, for a wide receiver, the mask is one thing. For a lineman, the mask is another, quarterback, kicker. So I from what I understand, I believe all the masks are different. So the mask is one thing. So you're talking about the mask. If everybody had to wear a visor, you know, it would come down to maybe a specific type of visor. But this is a helmet, and I believe that comfort comes into play. I mean, how much is? I guess there has to be a study.
You know the bucket that you wore.
The helmet that I wore had foam that was this
thin.
But the thing is, though, Rip.
And you liked it, right? But if someone told you that you had to wear something else with more padding that's going to protect your head, you're not going to like it.
I did have to switch. And the point is that it didn't change anything. Like, I mean, like, my safety didn't change. I get hit in the head. I mean, the helmet's not going to do anything. You know, they're like, I mean, I don't understand. I personally, here, you want to hear an unpopular thought? It would never happen because the game is so fast, and it's hard to not make head contact in sports of these speeds when you're talking about physicality.
Yep.
Right? It's like asking NASCAR drivers not to bump each other. It's like it's next to impossible. You know, but Rubens Racing, right? As Cole Trickle once said, my point is that, like, you just... I think I kind of lost track of what my point is, but the safety of it, Riv, it doesn't matter because the helmets, my point was unpopular thought, take the helmets off the players. Take the helmets off. They won't hit as hard. Guys that come in to hit are in just as much danger of getting their heads hit.
What the heck did you just say now?
I understand.
Are you saying this as a hypothetical, or are you actually saying take the helmets off football players?
And you'd see...
That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard out of your mouth in all the years that we've been sitting on the radio. That is absolutely ridiculous.
It would never happen.
How can you even... That's like saying, imagine, take the sticks away from a hockey player and tell him to go out and really get going.
No. Okay, let's tie it to hockey. Take the helmets off the hockey players. We've always said that when helmets came in, then visors came in, sticks came up.
Man,
right?
Come on.
You're telling me there isn't a difference between the game and the players with visors and sticks coming up versus when guys didn't have helmets because everybody was at risk of getting hit the same way. A cross check to the head was a cross check to the head. A high stick to the head was a high stick to the head.
You are definitely taking the unpopular thought right now. It's actually way beyond the unpopular thought. It's ludicrous what you're just talking about.
Well, the hits wouldn't be as hard.
Yes, they would.
You think the hits would be as hard?
No question.
Those guys are still going to hit the same, but there's going to be a lot. I make about shoulder pads.
There's
going to
be more blood. There's going to be more stitches, and there's going to be more concussions.
The more equipment we give players, the more invincible they feel. That is my point to the helmet thing. You give a player a bigger, thicker helmet that he can use as a weapon. You give Ovechkin bigger, thicker shoulder pads that he can use to go and pound a guy. These guys don't feel when they hit somebody. They don't feel the hits. They don't absorb the brunt of the hits. Trust me, I will bring in shoulder pads that I wore when I played.
Yep.
They're paper thin. Versus the guys that had on these Douglas shoulder pads that would go in, I would feel a hit. If I went to hit a guy, I would feel it. If a guy came to hit me, I would feel it. There are guys now that don't feel hits because the equipment is so good. It's the guys that get hit that allow these players to hit harder while going faster. That is the issue. That's my whole issue. The safer you make them with more equipment, the more invincible they're going to be. You already feel invincible. You already feel invincible as an athlete to begin with. I would have gone out and played hockey with no pads. If you said you can't wear pads, I would have played hockey with pads, and I still would have hit, and I still would have fought, and I still would have, you know, maybe, you know, done a couple flamingos when trying to block a puck. But my point is that that's my point, is that if you keep adding equipment, making it safer, it's like these guys are just going to continue to hit harder. Plain and simple. Shoulder pads on football players, shoulder pads on hockey players, it's insane. It's insane how protected they are. Elbow pads. You remember the elbow pads you wore? They were like...
They're plastic.
They were plastic.
Hard plastic.
On top of plastic that was covered with foam. Inside that was a donut of foam and plastic. It's like you couldn't hurt your elbow, but your elbow could hurt somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
And your elbow never felt it.
And they got rid of those elbow pads in the league where you couldn't have a plastic shell elbow pad because they were doing damage and guys were getting concussed because of the elbow pads.
The NFL had a you know, Tasker's probably back there watching this, throwing his pen, and you know what? But they had to remove about guys penalty for hitting with the crown of their helmet. You think the guy leading with his head actually feels when he drives it into a guy's chin? You think he feels it? Other than maybe a little jolt in your neck. Do you think he feels it?
Probably not.
So I guess a guy's not going to do that if he's going to maybe take one off the forehead and get split for 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's my only point.
Yeah, anyway, that's never going to happen. I mean, we're trying to protect these guys. They're in a game that has contact. The speed that's generated with these players nowadays is extreme because they're so strong, they're so fast, they're so well conditioned that the game has gotten faster. So when you hit, the hits are harder because of the speed and the impact. You know, you're not taking away padding. You're trying to manage the padding so it's not going to hurt the other player. Players need helmets. Of course they do.
I mean, it's a.
This
total,
comes down to
it's a total drastic.
This comes down to one football player that is making a stink because he wants to wear his old helmet.
And I don't have an issue with it because
this guy should be
things?
Sitting out.
Really?
Go enjoy yourself. Go sit out until you're ready to wear what we tell you to wear. And that's it.
What happens when he loses this grievance again?
I don't care what happens, to be honest with you.
Okay, moving on. All-decade team, Jack Eichel, Thomas Vanek, Jason Pominville, Rasmus Ristolainen, Tyler Myers, and Ryan Miller, coach Lindy Ruff. So ESPN did the all-decade team for all 31 clubs, and that means players that have played in the organization in the last 10 years, okay, and coaches as well. So what do you think of that lineup? Could you imagine right now, Jack, what is he, 22, 23 in October?
22, I would say. He's going to be turning,
Because he's in the under 23. So you have Jack Eichel, Thomas Vanek, Jason Pominville. Could you imagine Jack, Palmer, and Vanek on a line together right now? I think I said to you before the show, I said if those three guys were on a line, they'd score 100 goals. That line alone would get your team 100 goals.
Well,
I absolutely believe that.
I would strongly believe that they would be well over 100. You know, Thomas Vanek scored, 42, 41 a couple times in his career. He was always a high 30 point producer. You know, if he was playing with a guy like Jack Eichel, I mean, he would have scored 50. And I strongly believe that. Jack Eichel, with his ability to set players up and put Vanner in a position to have success, I think Thomas Vanek would have scored 50 plus goals. Now, Jason Pominville in his prime, I mean, he was a, you know, low 30 goal scorer. I think Palmer would certainly continue to be around a 30, 35 goal scorer on that line and would have been an 80 point guy. 80 plus point guy.
Yeah. I said we both said 33 for Palmer, probably 40 to 45 for Vanner, and you said what for Jack?
Jack on that line. Because you know, Thomas Vanek was a very gifted puck-moving player, too. You just needed someone to lug the mail down the ice to get it to the offensive zone, which is what Jack does extremely well. Once you get in the zone, Thomas Vanek was one of the best net front presence guys in the National Hockey League and had the ability to make plays too. So that would have been an extremely dangerous line. So Jack already is doing quite well. I'd say that Jack would be a 35 goal guy and a 95 point player.
I could make some arguments for some other players. I mean, you know, Roizy maybe in there. I don't know. I don't know.
Derek Roy's a great player. He's no Jack Eichel, I'll tell you that. They're not even on the same stratosphere.
No, he's not. He's not.
I played with Derek Roy, he had 80 points.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
To you. Yeah.
So.
Well, what about the defense? I mean, Miller's obvious in net. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to argue with Ryan Miller in net. I don't think there is another goalie in the last 10 years that has actually solidified the number one spot the way he did. What about the defense? Is unpopular opinion as a taking the football helmets away is for saying Tony Ludeman and Henrik Talinder? Is there an argument in there for those guys?
Talinder and Ludeman?
Yeah,
Question.
Like, you look at those two guys in the 10 years ago.
Could you imagine Hank Talinder playing in today's game?
Do you know what their stats were? They both had 4 goals, incredible. 16 assists, 20 points each, plus 10, plus 13.
They weren't real offensive guys, but they had Tony Ludeman was probably our best. Do you remember him in breakouts or penalty shots?
Do you remember his fight with Brad Boys?
I don't.
Oh, one of the best non-heavyweight fights I've ever seen in my life. Two random guys to fight. It was Brad Boys and Tony Ludeman in Boston. Go YouTube it. It is unbelievable. These two guys punched each other in the face 20 times. It was incredible. And clearly, there was nothing behind any of the punches because neither one of them went down. But I'm going to tell you, they were both battered and bloody, and it was amazing to watch. Anyway, sorry, I went on a little side note there. But, Tony Ludeman, both those guys I felt were completely underutilized. Or
not underutilized.
Could they have been used for more, though? Do you think that there was more to them, or do you think it was kind of like they were limited in what kind of opportunity they were going to get, did Tony play PP time?
He did not. He did not. He was an incredible penalty killer, but moved the puck very well. You know, was smooth skating, but not fast. Did things, always seemed to make the right play. He always seemed to be in the right situation, the right spot in the ice. Really, really nice player. Hank Talinder, he's probably been one of the best skating defensemen that I've ever played with. Very, very
Hamill
gifted.
Camel.
Yep, very.
Do you remember
that?
The exercise he would do, he'd stand on the goal line, and he would be able to, so just by swinging his leg and using his edge work, edges, without taking a stride, he could get himself from standing still to the other end of the rink just by shifting his body weight and using his edges and just going side to side, and he'd do it the other way. It was incredible to watch. You never saw him do that when he just skated with the puck and he'd open it. Just watching him skate with the puck was...
Yeah, he was effortless. Really
absolutely,
nice.
Absolutely incredible. He started out in Rochester, and I have to mention that today is the Rochester Americans golf outing, alumni golf outing, and the reason why we're not there is we're here. And, well, you never played for the Amerks, but I did.
I did not.
And the farm rankings, there's the Athletic, we referenced them 3 times today, did the 2019 NHL farm system rankings. Mm-hmm. And the Sabres are number 18, slid down 17 spots. They were number 1 last year, but that's Dahlin and Mittelstad were the key guys on that list. But they've gone down to number 18.
Pilot Allmark was also on that list.
Yeah.
You're basically taking Dahlin, Mittelstad, Pilot, and Allmark,
Brendan Gooley was on that list last year.
Brendan Gooley got moved for a Montour, mm-hmm. So you're thinking to yourself, that's a pretty darn good trade right there to make this team better. Nylander got traded this summer for Jokiharju. who we will wait to see what this young player brings. But everything I hear is this young man is a really, really good defenseman. So Jason Botterill's made some really, really key important trades. But when you go from first in the National Hockey League for depth in your system to 18th, usually a lot of people are, you know, they start to raise an eyebrow. And you start to realize that we had a lot of great prospects graduate to the NHL. Casey Mittelstadt, Dahlin, Pilot, Allmark all had real nice first seasons and some great trades too.
I mean,
some really great trades with Nylander and Brennan Gulli. I mean, got some great.
Well, just from the draft this year, I mean, they've already added Eric Portillo, the goaltender that we talked about here. Matias Samuelsson last year. You have Victor Olofsson's on the list. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Ryan Johnson, the 31st pick in the draft this year.
Oscar Laskanen.
Laskanen. Defenseman.
Whatever his name is.
Two.
I just remember when we picked this young guy, he was a real skinny little runt. You know, still at the age of 17, maturing. There was a lot of eyebrows raised when they picked him at in the third round. People had never heard of him. He was not on anyone's radar, but the Sabres made out and made kind of like a bold pick at the third round pick. And this young player has really, really come on strong. Oscar Laukkanen. 6'2", 165 pounds, third round pick, played for the Finnish Elite League, played at the World Championships, has really, really developed and come on strong in the last year. He's had a lot of development, a lot of real good signs for this young guy. So, I mean, they're just stockpiling an insane amount of high-end defensemen. I'm just looking at the defensemen with, you know, Montour, Gulli, a Ristolainen, a Miller. You have Samuelsson, Laukkanen, Ryan Johnson is looking like this kid is the real deal. Beautiful skater, beautiful puck mover. Will Borgen, obviously, definitely in the mix. And Henry Jokiharju. I mean, there are so many really high-end talented defensemen. This is going to be—it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
He's not on this list, I think, because he's
who's that?
Jokiharju. Simply and to the point.
Probably because they did the list a little while back, right?
Because he's in. Was it because he was up in Chicago too?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think with Johnson there at number three. How many years do you think, honestly, you think it will take to see Matias Samuelsson and a guy like Ryan Johnson, because they were a defensive pair at the World Juniors.
Jokiharju.
Well, I would expect him to be sooner.
Okay.
No, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at
all. Is he here this year?
What about Will Borgen?
That's how many right-handed defensemen do you need?
I don't know, but I will tell you this. I have said this many times. It is going to start to be a real competitive environment here in Buffalo because the young players that the Sabres have stockpiled in the last year or two, 3 years, you are really starting to see a very, very strong crop of up-and-coming players. And, I mean, I've never, ever, ever been so pleased with what I've seen in the young development. And it just takes, it takes time. Like you're asking, like, when are we going to see Ryan Johnson? When are we going to see Matias Samuelsson? You're not going to see them probably for another, at least minimum 2-3 years. There's no need to rush these young players. When they do come in, they will start to be impact players right away.
Here are the top 10 inside the organization for 23 and under players. You have Eichel at 22. I think he turns 23 soon. Dahlin at 19. Reinhardt is 23. Dylan Cousins, Casey Mittelstadt. That rounds off your top five. You have Jokiharju, Tage Thompson, Oskari Laksonen, the defenseman you're talking about, Ryan Johnson, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So I don't know how that grades against other teams, but you know, with in terms of projection and potential,
they're just so deep right now.
It's a good list
in so many areas, especially in the defense moving forward. This is an extremely deep group, and you know what I mean. You have a Ryan Johnson who was picked 31st overall this year. He's impressed, you know, right off the bat. But this young guy was only playing in the USHL last year. I mean, he's got years before he needs years to allow him go play Division One hockey. I'm not sure where he's committed to, but allow him to go play a couple years Division One, gain his confidence, continue to strive and get better. And, you know, the same goes for Matias Samuelsson. He just needs time to continue to work on his game, work on his craft, you know, take bigger roles as he moves through his, I think he's at Western Michigan. If I'm not mistaken,
who?
Matias Samuelsson, but he's a big 6'5", 225-pound, 30-pound defenseman. He skates well. He moves the puck well. He's highly physical. He's a beautiful, beautiful prospect moving forward, but just give him more time to really gain confidence. And when he's ready, the Sabres are going to know it. And he is going to demand a spot on this roster, but just need time. Allow these guys to continue to develop.
The one thing about Matias Samuelsson, let me get that for you here for 1 second. I think you're right about where he is. Western Michigan.
Yeah, okay.
His coach, do you know whose coach is? It's Andy Murray.
Andy Murray is in LA player. Kings, Andy Murray?
Yes. Yes, Andy Murray.
Andy Murray coached me at for the World Championships in 2003 when we won the gold medal, and he is.
How is he with picking leadership? Does he pick guys that don't deserve it?
Oh, he is old school. He is going to be extremely. I've never. It was only a 2-3 week period with Andy Murray, but it was a very good learning experience for me. Even though I was, I think at the time I was 30 years old or 31 years old. I learned a lot in those couple weeks. He was extremely, extremely organized. The practices.
I heard almost too detailed sometimes.
Well, you know what? I mean, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. You can never be too detailed, but you can be underprepared. And we were not underprepared with the group that we had there. I loved what Andy Murray did. Anyway, I didn't want to take away what you were saying, but for him to be at that Michigan University or Western Michigan University, he is going to be a really, really nice coach. Well, very structured. And
for him, for Matias Samuelsson, because I'll tell you, the reason why I mentioned that was because he's the first sophomore there, I think, in a lot of years to get a letter. And that's why I asked you about. And Andy Murray's been there since 2011-12. And Matias,
if I'm not mistaken, I think Matias Samuelsson was one of the captains. I think he was the captain. Could have been the captain for the
He was the captain
for the World Junior team.
No, the under 18 team.
Or the under 18. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
The NTDP. He was the captain.
And I'll tell you, that is the best of the best. We're talking when you're playing in the National Development Program in the United States. This is the best kids of the age group, and for you to be the captain, the leader of that group of, I would say, high-end personalities, very cocky
talent,
young
sure.
men coming out of there because they've been the cat's meow since a very young age. That'd be a tough group to be a captain of. And when you're captain and named captain, you know that you have leadership qualities. So, you know, this is a very interesting, you know, Matias Samuelsson, he is going to be playing in the National Hockey League. There is absolutely no question.
And his father, Jell Samuelsson, K-J-E-L-L, I don't know if it's Jell or Kajel.
6'8", mutant from Philly.
Yep, that's right.
I remember him.
But anyway, some of his quotes in his article, we got to go to break, but some of his quotes in his article just about who he surrounds himself with off the ice, you know, what he likes to do away from the rink, all that stuff. He was more mature at the age of 20 than I was at 37. How about that? Instigators, we'll be right back. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Someone wants to call Riv out about his one of the defensemen that he added into the top 20. So we'll ask him how he feels about that. Summertime six-pack coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Okay, before we get to summertime six-pack, we have somebody tweeted in. They said, where is it? Talked about how, what are you on right now? Because Keith Yandel? That's what they said. Keith Yandel.
Yeah.
Anything to say?
Nothing.
Okay, fine.
It's unpopular, but when you're putting up 62 points a year and you're running a power play for an NHL hockey team and you have, forwards, the likes of Huberdeau and Barkov and guys like that having career years, there has to be a defenseman on the back end that moves the puck and produces offense from the back end. And Yandel is that guy.
I guess Eric Gustafson should be on the list, too. Anyone ever heard of Eric Gustafson? Gustafson, 60 points for Chicago last year? Call me. Let's talk about it. Summertime six-pack. So the Erie County Fair just finished. I actually went to the fair this year. Ran into Patty Coletta.
Yeah.
You know who else they ran into? Former linesman in the American Hockey League, Murph. Mr. Murphy. Anyway.
All right, good.
Okay. You know Murph. I don't know if I was supposed to say that he was at the fair, right? Because he was supposed to be at work. But anyway, so we got the fair. So fair food. Summertime six-pack. We're going to draft these. Instead of each of us doing a list, we're going to draft the summertime six-pack. We'll even throw a koozie in there. So seven. So fair food. I think the first and foremost, the obvious one, I'll go first here. Cotton candy.
All right, that was my number one, but
one you had.
But go ahead.
There you go. Cotton candy's off the board.
I'm going to go, some people call them corn dogs. Some people call them Prana Pops.
What?
Wieners on a stick.
Prana Pops?
Prana Pop.
Piranha?
Pronto. Prana Pops.
Pronto Pops.
No, never heard of that?
Never heard of them called that. Had a corn dog.
All right.
I think they look disgusting.
Oh, they are so delicious.
I've never had one.
You're losing out in life if you're not eating corn dogs. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I think I'm doing all right.
Delicious.
Do you like cotton candy? I don't even like cotton candy.
I don't like cotton candy whatsoever.
But
I would think that, popularity, that'd be number one.
Here's one I will do are the funnel cakes.
Funnel cakes.
Yeah, Riv and I were just joking. So I feel like I have one of those water ski life jackets underneath my shirt. The ones that just go around your waist. The belt, basically. So, I'm going to go with the funnel cake because, you can't go wrong with funnel cake. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Powdered sugar on it. Anything fried is good with me.
I'm going to go with not a classic hot dog, not like a wiener with ketchup and a bun. I'm talking, you got to put something on there. I don't know what it is, but get it loaded up with a whole bunch of condiments and just feast on a nice, nice hot dog. What do you think about that? That's very popular.
Fair enough. I don't know about that one, but I do know that the fresh lemonade stands at the Erie County Fair are to die for.
Okay.
So had a couple of those while I was there. Nice hot day.
Okay.
We're doing summertime six-pack favorite foods that you get at the fair. The Erie County Fair just finished, and we're fat and out of shape, so we figure why not talk about food that we eat. So I'm going with the lemonade. Well, that's not really food, but it's one of your concessions, if you will.
Okay.
Okay.
When I think fair, I don't know. What about a roasted corn, like a roasted cob of corn? I love corn on the cob. I absolutely love it. I think it's oh man. butter, salt, pepper, you name it. What do you think of that? You like that?
So there's roasted the Eden Corn Fest. And so the Eden, yes, put that on the list because that's amazing. Because what they do is you go up, you get a cob of corn, and they dip it in like the butter. They have this thing that's like your the whole thing. They just dip the whole, it's not like they roll it. They dip it in melted butter, put it on your thing that looks like a, it's like the boat, you know, the cardboard boat.
Yeah.
They put it on that, they the salt and pepper for you, and boom, you just off you go with a whole cob of corn. Okay, how about kettle corn? So throw the cob of corn up there for River. I'll go kettle corn.
Okay. You ever heard of blooming onions?
Yeah, but that's an Outback Steakhouse thing.
What do you mean? An Outback?
Who hasn't heard of a blooming onion?
I've never heard of a blooming onion.
It's one of the most unhealthy menu items in America. Legitimately.
You get them at a fair?
You get them at the Outback.
That's it? That's the only place you can get them?
Maybe you can get them somewhere else. Why? Have you had them at the fair? I'm sure you probably get them at the fair. Blooming onion not working for you?
Well,
throw a blooming onion. Okay, Kelly's telling us they are at the fair. You got the blooming onion. You got the blooming onion. I'm going to go with Chevetta's. The Chevetta's chicken shack that's there at the mall. It's the marinated chicken legs and, oh, with the skin on it. It's got the nice marinade. They throw it on the grill, charcoal grill.
Okay.
Speaking of charcoal grill, next episode of Grilling I'm coming up. Jay McKee, God bless you.
Excuse me.
What do you got?
I mean, you can't go to a fair, I don't think, without... Did anyone say ice cream? Just a simple, nice, you know, twirled cone of a vanilla or chocolate, or maybe if you...
What was that first flavor?
Vanilla, chocolate.
Vanilla?
Ice cream. Okay. That's a no-brainer.
You weren't specific. You said swirled in a cone. I'm going to wrap up my draft with a tap-in. Dippin' Dots.
That's got to be under my umbrella. You can't get Dippin' Dots.
It's not insurance. This is not an umbrella package. You said ice cream swirled into a cone. I'm saying Dippin' Dots. You got to come up with a 6-1. So let's get out of here because we got our buy-sell trade coming up. I'm going Dippin' Dots. Ooh, donut cheeseburger.
What?
So at the fair, a couple years ago, I was there and someone wanted me to try a hot dog on like a maple glazed donut with maple glazed bacon.
Okay. Well, I got one that's going to top all of these, and that's why I left it last, because I wanted to give you an opportunity to take the greatest one ever, because we're all in Buffalo. How about the wings? You're not serious right now.
You're not in Family Feud. You're not
all
getting
the different types of wings. Were you go at to the fair? Fair?
Were you at the you? So you went to the fair and you saw all the wing places lined up there, just having a competition. It's not Wing Fest, Riv. That's Wing Fest. Wing Fest would be where the wings are.
So you're going to tell me right now that there's not wings at a fair?
I think, I'll tell you what, I don't think I saw wings there, unless you're including the Chevetta's. There might have been wings there somewhere, but I'm going to go out. I think you have a better chance of getting a
right
souvlaki.
Now you're making me look like wings are not at a fair, and we're going to find out if wings are
if
at a fair.
If you went to the Erie County Fair and saw chicken wings, we'll leave the last spot open for Riv. Call us or tweet us. Were they there? We'll be right back with our buy-sell trade for today. Find out what that is, and we will get out of here for One Bills Live. Football season's right around the corner, so stick around for that. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio, 550 and MSG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Sorry, Steve. I wanted to carry on that conversation, but I had, you know, was he telling me to get out of the way there. Steve, you were asking about who?
Anthony Miller.
Why'd you ask him about Anthony
Miller? Well, just looking at his new rig here, new whip, they call it.
What's he got?
I don't know what it is, but it is nice. It's a pretty sick ride here that, you know, good for him.
That's a, looks like a nice car. We do have to send out a very special congratulations that I literally just heard about a couple minutes ago. Jeremy White, expecting not one, not two, not three, but four little ones, on the way for he and his wife. And Craig, you have four kids. I only have one, but I'll say this: congratulations and all the best and good luck. That's a big family right off the bat.
No
question. You took time to get to four.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I've never heard a man more shocked about having a kid than you were about your fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
But to find out you have four brewing inside.
Super exciting, but they're going to need some help there. There's no question about it. Those little ones, they're a lot of work. It's so enjoyable when you dive in and to parenthood. It's incredible, but wow, four little ones.
This segment brought to you by Buffalo Sports. We'll skip the buy sell trade because we're talking about quadruplets. It's quadruplets or quadruplets? Quadruplets.
Yeah.
But brought to you by Buffalo Sports, where you can get four pairs of skates for the price of one. Hey, yeah. You can have a whole penalty killing unit out there with four little ones. Congratulations. I mean, that's amazing. Four kids. You have four. Could you imagine four at the read his tweet? Because his tweet is absolutely totally appropriate. I'll find it here. He basically shares every emotion known to man when it comes to having little ones. Thrilled, excited, terrified, and everything else to share that my wife at Molly McGee and I are expecting quadruplets.
Dead wow. Silence.
Wow. What was that one show called?
Incredible.
John and Kate plus eight.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Wasn't that a reality show? John and Kate plus eight. They had eight kids. All right. Well, good luck. Good luck, Jeremy. And what draft is that? That would be the 18 years from now. Carry the two. 37? Be the 2037 draft. Four. You'll have four first rounders in the 2037 draft. So that's a lot of fun. Good luck with
Congratulations,
absolutely
Jeremy. Incredible.
And fatherhood is a wonderful thing. Parenthood is a wonderful thing. And speaking of which, taking my little guy skating. So see you tomorrow. One Bills Live next with Murph and Tasker. So we'll see you tomorrow. Marty's in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.